So there's a phrase which many wise people through time have used, or a variation of, and it goes something like this. If it's worth doing once, it's worth doing again. Have you heard that expression, something like it? You know, some of you younger folk may have heard a variation by a famous philosopher called Moto Moto, who famously said, "The name's so nice, you say it twice." The point is this: something that's worth doing is worth repeating. So I'm going to repeat Chad's preach from last week. Well, I'm not going to repeat it word for word. That's not the idea. But what I am going to do is I'm going to do exactly what he did. And in fact, I'm going to say some pretty similar stuff. Because you know what? The Bible's so nice, you say it twice. Okay. Are you okay with that? Okay. So it may sound like this is a bit of a repeat. The reason it's a bit of a repeat is because it is a bit of a repeat. And I'm not going to apologize. See, last week, Chad took the gateposts, Psalm 1 and 2, and led us into the Psalms. I'm doing the Psalms as well. I'm doing Psalm 119. Not all of Psalm 119. Oh, today. But I'm going to take a bit from the middle of it, and we're going to look at a section from Psalm 119. Now, as the chuckles here, if you didn't know, the reason why some of you chuckled when I said a Psalm 119 is it's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And the psalm is just one subject. It's only about one thing. The whole of the psalm, 119, is about the Word of God. The whole chapter. And it's written as an acrostic. 22 stanzas, one each for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So each of the verses starts with the next letter. So it would be like if you had a poem in English where the first verse started with A and the second verse started with B. That's the kind of idea. So it's a structured poem. We, this morning, are going to be looking at verses 97 to 104. This is the Mem stanza. So it's the letter Mem. And it traces, it's basically a flow of movement about the Word of God written by someone who has learned to love the Word of God. That's what it is. And we're going to read through it. And there are some beautiful truths that I think we can pull out of this Mem stanza. So to start with, let's actually just read verses 97 to 104 out. This is from the ESV. And it says something like this. You don't have to read along with me, don't worry. I'll read it out, but it's going to be up on the screen. It says this. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So we're going to go through this little part of Psalm 119 together. And I want to take us on a flow, and the flow is going to be this. We're going to flow from seeing how the psalmist loves the Word of God, how that leads to learning about the Word of God. Learning leads to lingering, and lingering leads to actually leading a life lived differently. So we're going to follow this flow through, and we're going to start with loving the Word of God, loving the Word of God. So this is verse 97. If we get verse 97 up. How I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Now, we've been talking about the Word of God for the last few weeks, and We've been talking about how amazing it is, how much life there is in it. Maybe you recall my message a few weeks ago about how the Bible is a multidimensional library of books and how incredible it is. But for some of you, you may still find that even though you might go, yeah, that's true, I know, it's an incredible library, and I struggle. It's a bit scary, daunting. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to approach it. When I start reading it, it seems difficult. And like, you know, I tried reading it one morning, and then I gave up because it's just not working for me. And there are plenty of reasons that we can be kept away from the Word, but I want to ask you a question. How many times has there been a friend of yours might have said something like, oh, this really cool TV series you need to watch. It's called this. And the first couple of episodes are a little bit, but then once you get past, and so you say, okay, I'm going to watch this TV series. And you watch the first episode, you're like, second episode. And then by the third episode, and suddenly you've binged all 5 seasons of it and you just couldn't stop watching. Was that just me? Maybe it's a TV series, maybe it's a film series, maybe it's a book series. But the thing is that when you started, you weren't, but then when you gave yourself to that thing, then it caught you. Then you got caught by that thing. I think sometimes we think that the Bible is something where I'm just going to dip, and I know from like 5 minutes of the Word, I know whether I'm going to get on with it or not. Nonsense. You don't fall in love with something by dipping your toe in for 5 minutes. Anything in life that you fell in love with, that you saw through to the end, you gave yourself to that thing until it got your heart. It's the same with the Word of God. Some parts aren't easy, I'll be honest. Leviticus, not easy. It's great. If you get stuck into it, there's so much good stuff in Leviticus. Don't start there. Like, for a new Christian, the new Christian says, what book should I start with in the Bible? Leviticus. Yeah, no, don't. Better places. Start with John, I say. Anyway, but the point is this. Parts can be confusing. Paul's letters, can I be honest? We use Paul's letters a lot. Paul, I struggle with the way he writes. I say to you, not that I've already said, but I say to you, in order that you understand what I've said, so that when I say it again, you'll know what I've said, because I've said to you before that which I've said, so you've said that I've said it already. And things like that. You know, Paul writes this kind of way. It's brilliant. I love it. It's very cerebral. Hard to get into. Okay? So, be wise in how we approach things, but get stuck into the Word so that you fall in love with it. Start with Genesis, Matthew, Psalms even. When I read the Bible in a year, or most of the Bible in a year, I started the New Testament. I did the New Testament. I got to Genesis. You were supposed to read like 2 chapters a day. I started with Genesis, chapter 1 and 2, and then I found myself reading like all 50 chapters in one night. And at the end of Genesis, I cried like a baby. Because when you read Genesis through and you see the story of God's faithfulness to the family and the like, I tell you, don't just dip into 5 verses of Genesis and think you're going to fall in love with it. You're not. But give yourself to that thing. Oh, let it capture your heart. When the psalmist starts here, he says, doesn't start with how I respect your law, how I think your law is a pretty good thing. He starts with how I love your law. I think it's just worth noticing, just in a little side note here, what he says he loves. It might sound like quite a strange thing. I love your law. Like, who loves laws, really? I mean, laws aren't generally something that we love. We obey them, okay? The law, the Hebrew word for law is Torah. So we'll be looking at the Torah in the Bible. And it actually, the word Torah doesn't mean rule book. We translate it as law, but the word Torah actually means to point the way. That's what the word means, the pointing of the way, a teaching. So what he's actually saying here at the start of this psalm is this. I love being shown the way. That's what he's saying. I love being shown the way. That's what God's word does. It shows the way. For us, ultimately, there's a fulfillment to this. This love of being shown the way. And it doesn't find its fulfillment in a book. It's a person. John, I mean, I was mentioning John just now. I love the Gospel of John. It's my favorite book in the Bible. It talks about how Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of the Word. That's why we love the Word. Because Jesus is the fulfillment of the Word. Jesus told the religious leaders, this is John 5:39. I'm just going to give these verses. You don't have to go to them. I'm just so you know where they are. This is John 5:39. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, and it is they that bear witness about me." Point the way to Jesus. So we have to love the Word, just as the psalmist did. Secondly, we have to learn the Word. Verse 98. "Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me." When I was at school, I sat my chemistry exam, my chemistry A level. For those of you familiar with chemistry, there's two types of chemistry. For those of you who remember anything from a trick, I'm now going to give you a PTSD, remembering back to your school days. But there's two kinds of chemistry in an A-level. There's organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry. So organic chemistry is to do with organic compounds, that is, anything that has, you know, carbon and things in them. Like petrol would be an organic compound, for example. And so it's a very small part of the syllabus, but I really struggled with organic chemistry. I sucked at organic chemistry. Inorganic, great. Organic, no. So you know what I did when it came to revising for my A-level? I revised all my inorganic chemistry, which I knew. My organic chemistry, meh. Just skipped over that. When it came to the exam, and by the time I'd done coursework and things, I needed like 50% in my final exam to pass chemistry. So I was pretty confident. I walked into the exam, and there was like 20 questions, and like 16 of them were on organic chemistry. I failed with an N grade, which is near miss. It basically means you got like, you know, 39.5% or something. And people were complaining that it was really unfair, but it wasn't unfair. You see, the thing is that I had just been committing to memory the things that I liked, the parts that I liked, the parts that I enjoyed. But in actual fact, there was stuff that I could have learned and should have learned across the whole syllabus. I have a sneaky suspicion that when it comes to the Bible, we are pretty much like I was when it came to organic chemistry. When we talk about learning the Word of God, what we generally mean, and maybe I'm being a bit controversial here, but I think this is true. I think it means we learn a few verses from the New Testament that we know and we like. Or maybe learn some of the prophecies from the Old Testament where we name it and claim it, you know. Like, you know, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm. That, I learned that verse. Not the bit that comes after about it says, if you keep my commandments and if you don't, this is what I'm going to do to you. We don't learn that bit. We learn the bit we like. Or in the New Testament, we learn little snippets. The problem is this. When the pressure came on in my exam, I didn't have the answers because I didn't have a full picture. I think sometimes when the pressure comes on in life, we struggle with the answers because we don't have a full picture of the Word of God. We have fridge magnet Word of God. And we think that's going to get us through. But that does not give us a full picture of who God is. How did Jesus respond when the pressure came on? In Matthew 4, 1 to 11, you can read it for yourself, but Jesus used the word of God to make his case. However well the enemy knew it, and he did know it, Jesus knew it better. He knew the heart behind it. He knew how to express it, how to use it properly, how to stand under pressure because he knew the word. We need to do the same. We need to know how God flows through every page. That means reading it, understanding it, even committing it to memory. I'm not suggesting you memorize the whole Bible, although if you did, that would be so cool. I know people have memorized whole books of the Bible. It's actually great if you can do that. I was talking to Cor about it just recently, and I know he's been doing it with his family, like trying to memorize parts of Scripture, and there's such power in that. Such power in that. Remember, these are the words of God. They carry more than the powers of man, words of man. I can learn the words of God. They're better. This is why the psalmist claims in verse 98. He says he's wise not because of his natural gifting. He doesn't say, I'm wise because you made me that way. He's wise because the word is ever with him, because he's learned it. He keeps it close, keeps returning to it. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy that the Bible is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, learning the word of God is not just for the sake of learning words. It leads to Jesus when we learn the word of God. So now we've spoken about how we need to love the word and learn the word. Now we come to lingering on the word, which is verse 99. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. When you're doing something you really, really enjoy, are you in a hurry for it to end? No, I'm serious. Like, let's say you're settling down to watch a movie, go for a walk, or maybe sitting down for a nice meal, or, you know, whatever it is you enjoy, you know, going to a rugby stadium or something. Like, the moment you sit down, do you go, right, okay, when's this ending? How much longer have I got before it finishes? Okay. No, you don't. If you're doing something you enjoy, you try and hang it out as long as you can. Do we have to go now? Just like, oh, I forgot to look at my watch. Sorry. You hang it out. You linger. You try and get everything you can out of that moment. Because it's something you enjoy, something precious to you. Yet sometimes when it comes to reading the word, we go, okay, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to be 5 minutes. I'm going to read the word for 5 minutes. Okay, start my stopwatch. Okay. How long has it been? Still got 2 minutes to do. That's not how you read the word of God. I'm not saying don't be disciplined. Don't set yourself goals. Don't make sure. Start with 5 minutes. Great. If that's 5 minutes more than you were doing yesterday, that's 5 minutes of awesomeness. That's not a bad thing. But what I'm saying is this. Don't hurry to the end of it. This is why I struggle sometimes with reading plans. Because what a reading plan will do is it will say, I've done my verses for the day and you'll stop. I don't stick to a read. When I did my Bible in a year, most of the Bible in a year, I didn't stick to reading plans. Started there, didn't finish there. Because you go, I don't want to stop. So don't stop. Keep reading. Linger in the word. Meditate on it. What I'll sometimes do is I'll read something and I'll stop and I'll put the Bible down and I'll pray. Then I'll pick it up and I'll read the same thing again. Then I'll pray. Sometimes it means that I read the same thing over and over 5 days in a row. Seriously, sometimes there's a pattern, and I know God's got something for me there. So you know what I'll do? I'll just keep reading it. And the next day I'll read the same thing. And the next day I'll read the same thing and pray about it. Till finally, after a few days, God will just go, turn the light on. I'll be like, oh, I am so glad I didn't miss this. This is exactly what Mary of Bethany does. You know the story of Mary and Martha? Martha's rushing around. Mary just sits at Jesus' feet. She lingers. She lingers. Jesus says this. This is Luke 10, 38 to 42. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. That's what it is to linger in the word. It's the good portion. It's the good portion. It's not laziness. It's never wasted. I find it interesting that the psalmist says that he has more understanding than all his teachers because he really meditates on God's word, God's testimonies. I think too often now, many of us, we go and find some internet YouTube teacher, preacher, to tell us things. And we think, and we say things like, I really like this teacher or that teacher, you know, because they're really good. They teach this. I'm not negating teachers or preaching. Otherwise, what am I doing? I'm not negating that. What I'm saying is this. True wisdom doesn't come from the preacher you listen to. True wisdom comes from just spending time in the Word yourself. Then you can be wiser than all those teachers. If you're in the Word yourself. So we love the Word. We learn the Word. We linger on the Word. We chew on the Word. We meditate on it. And Chad spoke about that concept of, like, you know, chewing on it and meditating on it. Like a murmuring, a rehearsing. If we do these things, we can then live the Word. Live the Word. This is verses 100 and 101. It says this, I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold my feet back from every evil way in order to keep your word. I've noticed this odd thing over the years, this strange thing that keeps repeating. When I talk to someone who's got a situation they're struggling to get out of, they're going around the mountain again, maybe it's a bad habit, maybe it's a secret sin or something like that, there's this common theme. Nearly always, they're also struggling to spend time in the Word. You know, they'll say things like, I'm just struggling to find the time, the motivation, or I'm very busy, or things like that. Very rarely do I find someone who says, I love the Word of God. I spend like an hour in quiet time every morning, and I'm just like, oh, I've got to share with you what God's been showing me from the Bible. And by the way, I've got this secret sin I'm struggling with. That generally is unusual. I'm just being honest with you. And the reason for that is quite simple, because if you spend time in the Word of God, if you read it, if you linger in it, if you love it, if you grow in it, it will change you. You will start living the Word. Because when we see God's love, when we experience God's love, His purpose for us that comes out the pages, when it permeates into our lives, it compels us to walk in those ways. We can't help ourselves. It's when spiritual maturity comes. The Bible is full of stories who were caught in sin, who were proud, lazy, or unwilling, and you see how God rebukes them and restores them. And that speaks to us because we know it's us too. So we let it change us because we know it's our story. Note that the psalmist here doesn't say that temptation disappears. He doesn't say I don't need to worry about my feet anymore because you've just taken all the problems away. No. Temptation may not disappear, but What happens is the word of God strengthens us, trains us, and it actually helps us to keep our feet in the right places. So I've got a question for you. When it comes to living out the word, why would we not? Why would we not? Do we treasure the author of the word more than we treasure the author of sin? Does that sound harsh? Do we treasure the author of the word more than we treasure the author of sin? Because we either love one or we love the other. Because if we love God's word, we will avoid sin, we'll run from it. That's what the Bible says. We'll flee from it. There's good news, though, underneath this question. None of us will ever do this perfectly. Only one person ever did this perfectly. But Jesus was tempted too. Hebrews 4:15 talks about this, about how he alone, even though he was tempted as we were, never walked down that road. His feet were always pure. The beautiful thing is this. Our obedience doesn't earn his love. It flows from it. Jesus' words in John 14:15 says this, if you will love me, you will keep my commandments. It doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, you'll love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love the word of God, you will know what he's saying. It will change your life, and you will walk in his ways. But here's the incredible thing. You're not doing this alone. And this brings me to my final point on this flow through MEM. Listening to the Spirit. Listening to the Spirit. Verse 102 says this, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. I love this because it's so personal. It's such a personal statement. You know, it doesn't say, I do not turn aside from your rules, for your rules have told me what to do. No. It says, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. God has taught me. See, the words come alive when God speaks through them. This is what Jesus promised. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will, John 14:26, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And later on in John 16, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So what the psalmist is saying here is actually, it's almost like prophetic. The psalmist was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. And he was actually almost prophetically pointing to the Holy Spirit that was going to come. The Holy Spirit who's going to teach us all truth. I've always loved the Bible. When I was growing up, I loved to read the Bible. But I didn't really understand the Holy Spirit. And so what happened is that I often read the Bible in a very academic way. And I could tell you a lot about, you know, the nature of God and how the Bible is structured and what God did. And I could tell you the stories and the Bible. But the problem was this. Even though the Bible contained life, it wasn't alive to me. When I got to know the Holy Spirit, there was this revelation. The only way I can describe it is this. It's like hearing a book read out by the author. Imagine that. Your favorite book. Imagine if, so for me, let's say, for example, I'm not recommending it, I'm just saying I read it as a kid, The Lord of the Rings. Imagine I had J.R.R. Tolkien sitting in front of me reading The Lord of the Rings to me. Yo, that'd be immense. Or a piece of music, classical music, being conducted by the composer himself, who knows how it should sound. And the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to you. It is the author reading out the book to you. There's color, there's emotion, there's depth. And this is where now we come to land in the stanzas, the verb mem, this section's final two verses. Because once the Holy Spirit is the one who shows us, it's not just information, but it's God himself. And now when it's God himself, you know what it is? The word, you actually start tasting it. Tasting the word of God. Because you're experiencing it now. Because it's God himself who's speaking. Verses 103 and 104 say this. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is lived reality, when you taste it for yourself. And what happens when you taste it? Your very desires change. Now, you hate every false way. Why do you hate every false way? Because you've fallen in love with God. You've fallen in love with his word. So many times in the Bible, we hear that story of the sweetness of God's word. The prophets talk about it. Psalms talk about it. Psalm 19, God's rule is sweeter than honey and dripping of honeycomb. Ezekiel and John both have a scroll that when they taste, it tastes like honey in their mouths. And it's the word of God, when you experience it, is sweet. When you love it. So in conclusion, I've taken us just through a little journey of a little section of Psalm 119. And you probably, as you were hearing me share, you probably heard some similarity to Chad's message last week. And that's because this flow of what the Psalms are saying, it just brings out the beauty of God's word. It talks about loving the word, an overflowing affection. Learning the word so that when the pressure comes on in life, you can stand because of what you've learned of God. Lingering, taking the time, slowing down, being patient, living it change your feet, direct your path, not just head knowledge, but a knowledge that comes through your whole being to direct you, to restrain you, to guide you, and then listening to the Spirit. Because the Psalms, even though the Spirit had not yet been poured out on all men, the psalmists knew, inspired by the Spirit themselves, that there was a day coming, you and I living in it today, where the Spirit makes the Word come alive till it tastes sweet. Sweet. So the question I have for you this morning is very simple. What is your relationship to the Word of God? Do these verses in Psalm 119 sound very strange to you? Do they sound like that is not me? Because if so, why not? Why not? Is there anything inherent about you which means that you cannot experience what this psalmist experienced? It's the same Spirit of God within you. It's the same Word of God within you. I would love it if every single one of us here could say with absolute conviction, oh, how I love your law. That'd be a beautiful thing. So what I'd love us to do is this. I'd love us as a body, as a congregation, as people, as individuals, But together, I would love it if we can actually just commit ourselves to trying to love the word, linger in it, learn it, live it, listen to the Spirit, until his words taste sweeter and sweeter to us every day. I'd love us to commit to do that as a church family. If you're willing to take on the challenge to follow in the steps of this psalmist, can I ask that you stand with me?